The UN has expressed concern over arbitrary detentions, torture, and violations of due process in Israeli prison facilities since October 7th. But the UN and many other observers say the abuse of Palestinian prisoners has been going on much longer than that. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Zarefa Baroud, a PhD candidate at the University of Exeter's European Center for Palestinian Studies, about the plight of Palestinians who end up in Israeli prisons.
Torture of Palestinian prisoners, is this on a whole new level? I mean, we've heard in the past that the Israelis would take prisoners and put the burlap bags over their heads and shake them. That was one of their main forms of torture. And do you think they've just gone way beyond that? Or is what they're doing now kind of pretty much a repeat of what they've done in the past?
That's a good question. A lot of the tactics that they've been using are tactics that have been, that are routine and assumptions that anyone can make out of the treatment of prisoners on a daily basis in Israeli prisons, but it's been escalated to the extreme in many regards. For example, before October 7th, prisons in Israel were already overcrowded. But now we're seeing levels of overcrowding that have exceeded even that level of overcrowding that we were seeing before. The extent and intensity of torture has become unbelievably and indescribably more extreme. And this isn't just my analysis, but this is prisoners that are re-entering Israeli prison who had also been detained during some of Israel's most notorious moments in history in terms of its treatment of prisoners, like the first Intifada, saying, we've experienced prison during these moments in history, and this is unlike anything that we've ever experienced. So those are prisoners and former detainees themselves saying these things. Reports are coming out frequently. There was a UN report that just came out in July that described a great deal of this torture and abuse, and another one that just came out the other day from Beit Salem, which is entitled Welcome to Hell, describing the abuse and the torture, which they conclude is systemic and approved from the highest levels of the Israeli government, which is happening consistently and methodically across Israeli detention camps and prisons.
Do you think the higher, more intense level of torture has to do with the extreme nature of the government or the October 7th attacks? What do you think is behind it? The idea of crushing the Palestinian spirit, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the role that torture has always taken. It was a repression measure to thwart and subdue Palestinian resistance. But I think that they saw on October 7th and afterwards, even globally, the impact of Palestinian resistance in all of its forms and how they've truly failed in subduing the Palestinian people in Gaza and beyond.
It sounds like it's almost desperation on their part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also within Israel itself, you have a people that are so infuriated and confused about, you know, the motives of everything that happened. And their anger also gives Israel the green light to really do whatever it wants. I mean, we saw a couple weeks ago, a Palestinian prisoner had been sexually abused so horribly that he had been hospitalized. And you had supporters of these soldiers that did this abuse rushing to the prison or rushing to the interrogation centers to defend those soldiers. So that's also the mentality that many Israeli civilians have, where they've really allowed Israel to have an open season on Palestinian prisoners in terms of abuse and torture.
And some of these prisoners, are they being released by the Israelis?
Some of them, yes. I mean, there have been these really miraculous stories. As someone who has family in Gaza, who has missing family in Gaza, I really can't imagine what a lot of these people are experiencing. But there have been people that have had relatives missing since the beginning of the war that are being released after they had assumed that they had been dead for 9-10 months. Being released, and it turns out that they were in Israeli detention camps the entire time. So yeah, there are definitely people being released, and that's where we're getting these stories. Because Israel, I mean, it, right after October 7th, implemented a policy, according to this Beit Salem report, which was kind of a complete lockdown on Palestinian prisoners and their access to the outside world, including legal counsel, but also the press. So a lot of the information that we're getting right now is coming from those people that happen to be released. But each person that's released, our image and our, the illustration of the horrors of Israeli detention are just escalating each time.
Do you know what percentage of the prisoners are women and children?
I'm not sure about that. And a lot of this information, again, I don't think that we're going to receive for a long time. We don't even have an accurate idea of how many Palestinians are in detention at this moment. Some people are estimating 10,000, but then there's also 10,000 plus people in Gaza that are still missing. So there are so many people where we don't know their whereabouts. We don't know their conditions. And there's all these Israeli detention camps like Sede Tamon outside of Gaza. We're unfamiliar with how many prisoners are there, let alone what their conditions are like.
Do you know if there's U.S. complicity in that aspect of what the Israelis are doing? I mean, obviously, we know the U.S. is sending arms and giving diplomatic and political support. But how about right. in the case of the prisoners being tortured? Or maybe the U.S. feels like, well, the Israelis can handle that themselves.
Yeah, I mean, as I think it was Kamala Harris the other day just said, we're not going to tell Israel how to conduct this war. Repeating this line that we've heard so frequently. So absolutely, there is U.S. complicity at the deepest levels, especially when you see some of the most high-ranking political officials in Gaza defending the rape of Palestinian prisoners openly and proudly and saying this is what prisoners deserve. So when these are the people that you've had these historic diplomatic ties with, and this doesn't compel you to reconsider or to sever these ties, there is absolutely complicity at every level in the U.S. government.
Have you seen anything like this in the modern world take place? I mean, we know that there's horrible situations in Yemen and Sudan and Congo. Do you think this is even worse than any of those, or is it too hard to say?
I don't know if I can make that comparison as of now. Again, because even though these reports are coming out from the UN, from Beit Salem, there's still so much, I'm sure, that is going to be uncovered. I think what does set Israel apart in this regard is that it's standing globally, its relationship with the United States, with a superpower, and how the United States has set no red lines for Israel. If another country is to do this, there would be sanctions, there would be accountability in some form. But what we've seen is that for Israel, within Israel itself, and within the United States, its largest supporter, there aren't any red lines.
Yeah, I recall in the 60s, the U.S.-backed right-wing coup in Indonesia, they slaughtered anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million people. But that was kind of hidden. You know, you didn't see that on social media. They didn't have social media.
Right.
It seems like a lot of U.S. policy, a lot of U.S. activity has not been out there like this is.
Yeah, that's absolutely a valid point. And I think that adds an entirely new dimension also to American complicity, that the American people are able to see in real time the faces and the demeanor and the physical torture on the bodies of these prisoners when they're released. And there's irrefutable evidence of what's happening in these facilities. And yet it's not changing U.S. policy towards Israel. So I think that adds a completely new dimension to our understanding of U.S. complicity.
Do you see a big contrast, as many people have, between the U.S. attitude toward Ukraine, the Ukraine-Russia war, and the Israeli assault on Palestine?
Just in regards to double standards?
Yeah. I mean, if you believe that the Ukrainians, as they say, have the right to defend themselves, why wouldn't you believe that the Palestinians do? You know, I guess it's seen differently. It's like, because the Palestinians are seen as terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely. The same resistance that they partake in, that the Ukrainians are partaking in against the Russians, rather than being seen as heroic or any of these things, it warrants genocide. It warrants torture in its most horrific forms. It warrants things that the free democratic world, the free Western world, like the use of rape and sexual abuse and starvation and things of this nature, that we claim to be champions against these things. We find that the dehumanization of the Palestinian people and people aligned with the Palestinian people on lines of race or religion, that they're again, there are no red lines for these people, despite what, Western values may be in regards to white Christian people. There's free rein when it comes to these same actions, the same resistance, when it's coming from the wrong person or a person with a differing agenda from America's imperialist colonial agenda.
Any light at the end of the tunnel, as they say?
I think as a Palestinian and as someone that's been studying this subject for a very long time, absolutely. I think the light at the end of the tunnel, though, is not going to come from a Kamala presidency or a Trump presidency or anything that the U.S. does for that matter, but it's going to come from the steadfast resolve of the people of Palestine. They have undergone horrific torture in the past. They have undergone ethnic cleansing in the past. And look at us now. We have a global movement for freedom and a global movement against occupation, despite everything that Palestinians have gone through. If you even see the resolve of Palestinian children, that before this war, before this genocide, 9 out of 10 children in Gaza had PTSD and suffered from PTSD before this war. But you see their samud, their steadfastness, despite everything that they've already been through in their lives. So absolutely, I think that the light at the end of the tunnel is the strengths and the historic strengths of the people of Palestine and the people of Gaza in particular.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
I would encourage people that are involved with the cause of Palestine to continue centering the voices of Palestinian prisoners. I think it's important. We often say in solidarity movements to center the voices of those who are being oppressed. But I think we need to even go further than that and center the voices of the people that the Palestinian people themselves are centering. So focusing that energy and working actively to humanize Palestinian prisoners and their cause, because that's one of our ultimate battles and our cause globally right now, is the utter dehumanization of the Palestinian people and our prisoners.
I do recall that during the Bush administration, with the capture of so-called prisoners of war, or what do they call them, enemy combatants, they put them in places like Guantanamo. There was a kind of public outrage about that. But here in this case, you certainly see it among pro-Palestinian activists, but do you see it in the country as a whole? Do you get that impression at all?
Yeah. And again, I think social media and the impact of social media and the fact that the American people that are unfortunately and against their will funding these crimes are able to see the impact of their tax dollars in real time. They're able to see the children that they're maiming and killing. They're able to see the families that they're tearing apart, the skylines that have been leveled. I think that that adds a completely new level. But again, as a Palestinian, we've never seen this kind of global solidarity ever. So I definitely think that that's another light at the end of the tunnel, is that the steadfastness of the Palestinian people has leaked over and inspired a whole generation of young people in the United States and all over the world to stand with Palestine and to put an end to this occupation once and for all.
That's University of Exeter PhD candidate Zarifa Baroud speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on August 19th, 2024.